Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope all is blessed. I hope all is well. And right now, I hope this song blesses everyone's life. I am the treasure. Stay tuned.
From the day I was born,
everyone. This is your host, Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Like I said earlier, I hope everyone is blessed and everyone is well. I'm so glad that you're tuning in to Dirty Church Radio, where no topic or issue is out of bounds. Now, if you've been listening to the different shows, we've been having different callers call in, ask questions, and join in on the conversation. And I truly have been enjoying myself hearing the minds of God's creation. It's been a blessing to have an atmosphere where there may be disagreements and different views, but yet we can talk, yet we can communicate and try to get somewhere. Like I said yesterday on the show, my goal on Dirty Church Radio is to bring awareness and to try to stir up a God consciousness in God's creation, to let them know that there is a God greater than yourself. There's a higher being than yourself, and that you are the creation, regardless of how smart you may feel or intelligent you may feel. how many plaques you have on your wall, how many accolades, how many accomplishments that you made, any goals you have reached. God is still greater than you because he is the creator of everything. Now, someone may be listening and be like, well, I don't believe in God. Some people may be like, well, what God are you talking about? Who's your God? I have a God, but my God is not your God. And your God is not my God. But as Minister J. Miller on Dirty Church Radio, I truly believe with everything according to God's word that there is only one true and living God. But just because I make that statement, and if you believe otherwise, I don't want you to stop from listening or even calling in. We want to hear from you. We want to hear who your God is. What type of God do you serve? What are the rules in serving your God? What are the standards? What are the principles? Because we here at Dirty Church Radio, who believe in God according to the scriptures, we believe in his principles and his standards. So that's why tonight's episode is very interesting. It's going to be very interesting because the topic is why your God and not mine? Why your God and not mine? Now, right now, I have a caller that I see just came in a box. I'm going to see if they want to say something, if they want to get involved in conversation or just want to speak, say hello or whatever. Hello, caller?
Yes, how you doing?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Great. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, man. Real good. Tonight, I don't know if you just heard me. Tonight's topic is going to be about why your God and not my God.
Okay.
Why your God and not my God. And, you know, we understand in the world that we live in, there are many faiths, many different beliefs.
Right.
People worship different ways based upon how they were raised, what part of the continent they lived on, what were the customs and the traditions that was established in their life. And normally people accept the gods that have wound up in their atmosphere. So tonight is going to be very interesting because we're asking the question, why your God and not mine? And many people can ask that question. And just to hold on 1 second, I'm going to let our Apostle Lewis Young, who is one of the co-hosts for this show. How you doing, Apostle?
I'm good.
You good, man? How you doing?
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. And I have one more call on the line. I'm going to let him on. I believe that's Brother Bill.
Hey,
what's
going
on, Mr. Robinson?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. Good, good.
Okay.
If you've been listening, I think everyone knows what the topic is. Why your God and not mine? And like I was just saying, many people can call in here tonight and actually say that. Why your God and not mine? Why? Because everyone is not serving the same God according to how they describe their God or whatever the rules or the standards or principles of what they worship is. So, Apostle Young, being with that topic said, why your God and not mine? When you hear that statement, where does it take your mind? Where does your mind go when you hear that?
Several places that my mind goes. Goes to. It's going to be kind of, unless we get some people on here to say or explain who their God is or what their God is, it's going to be kind of hard to discuss this because I know what my God has done for me. My God created everything. There's not nothing that exists that my God didn't create. He created the air that I breathe. He created the earth that I walk on. He gave me the ability to do the things that I do. He's the God of all creations, and that's why I serve him the way I do. So I can define who my God is. That's why I serve the God that I serve, the God of all gods, and that's my Lord, my God, God Almighty, the I Am that the Bible refers to. I'm just like, I believe it was Elijah. Elijah was on the top of the mountain, and he was having a similar debate like we're having tonight or discussion tonight. And he said, whatever God answers by fire, let him be God. Well, I say that tonight. Whatever God that we can acknowledge is doing something, let that God be God.
Let me ask you a question. I know everyone probably watched the news today and what took place at Creflo O'Dowd's church. Did y'all hear about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The young, I guess they was having Bible study or something, and the guy, he was up there praying or worship leading or whatever, and he was shot 6 times or something.
Yeah.
In the house of God,
mm-hmm.
In God's house, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what and anyone can answer this, what would you say to a person who just would call in and be like, well, why would your God allow something like that to happen in his house?
Well, I like to take a stab at that one. Every house of God, they're saying it's a house of God. The presence of God and the power of God is not in that house.
That's true.
All right. So when they say, if they was to call and say, why would my God allow that to happen? I usually tell them, my God didn't allow it to happen.
All right. Can I say? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Brother Bill.
No, I'm sorry. What I was going to say was that also, too, I don't know, I ain't no Bible scholar, but I live off common sense, but the Bible does say if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I don't know what he was involved in either.
That's
I
right.
I don't know what he done. I mean, I can only speculate, for a man to react like that. I mean, I'm speaking from personally. Either you're messing with my money or you're messing with my woman, okay? For me to go off like that. Like I said, I don't know if that was the case or not, but I can only speculate. But you know, to me, that's living by the sword. If you're not doing the will of God, eventually it's going to catch up with you. You know, whether somebody kill you or some type of tragedy happens to you, that's what I believe, you know.
That's a good point, Brother Bill.
Yeah, that is a good point.
But I remember back in when I was coming up, When I was a young kid in church,
right.
people didn't have the audacity to just walk up in the church.
That's where
pull these kind of things off, because back then the church had power.
Right.
All right, and even if they did come in there with the thought of trying to pull a deed off like that, the power of the Lord would arrest them. And something would happen in that church to let them know that this man got a weapon, this man is coming to do something. 9 times out of 10, the power of the Lord would convict that brother, and he would throw the gun down on the altar.
Right.
And instead of leaving the murderer, he leave delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Can well, I tell you?
Like you this, said, things,
go ahead.
This kind of power is needed back in the church. And the reason why it's not in the church like it's supposed to be is because all leaders that's confessing to be leaders are not tapping into the power of God so that they can be the shepherds, the watchmen on the wall, so that these kind of things can't happen. So we can't say God is the reason why it happened. It's the lack of God in these leaders.
But you know what's something? When people, like when people sit back and see something like this, normally the average person who doesn't go to church or who believes something else or who doesn't believe in the Christian God or the God of the Bible, situations like this, this is what they'll use. They'll say stuff like, well, where was your God in this? I thought that the house of God is supposed to be a place of safety. He protects his people. Why would he allow something like this to happen if it was supposed to, if his word was going forth or it was being preached or if it was children inside of the house of God? You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times I was looking at this and I'm like, yo, in the church, man, now so much stuff be happening where, like you were saying, so many people are losing respect for the house of God where they're walking in and coming in and it's no power and they're doing whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's getting a bad rap. Because like right here, by this happening, this just unleashed a whole different.
Yeah, you're right. A different negative persona of this church.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
The church don't have enough negativity against it as it is. This here is just putting another nail in the proverbial church casket. But
right.
The devil is a liar.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. People are saying, what's next? What's next going to happen in the church? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? It's funny because as I read the report that went out earlier when it first came out, and, you know, I immediately thought about the other saints that were in the church. Like, they had never witnessed anything like that in the history of that church. So it makes me think, you know, first they were terrified.
Yes.
You know, many people may not have gone back to work. It seemed like it was a lunch brunch type of prayer service that took place where people could come in on their lunch break and actually be a part of it. So I believe the shooter was actually a member of the church that everybody was familiar with. Of course, the brother that was praying, I don't know if he was a minister or not, but he was on stage praying. So this guy came in with the intention of only shooting this one particular person. And that this topic, why my God, or why your God and why not my God, is perfect for the example that took place today. The reason I say that is because I don't think the perception of the Christian church will, you know, why God didn't save them, you know, or even I had a sinner, you know, just a regular person call, you know, email me actually and say why God didn't save this man. So my thoughts immediately went to he wasn't serving our God at the time. He had to be serving a different God, whether it was the gun itself. You know what I mean? The power and the gun. He wanted to take this man's life. He had a choice. So he, you know, considered himself to be God. So he wasn't at that particular time, whether he had been serving our God in the past or whatever, at that particular time, he wasn't covered under our God.
Right.
He automatically took into consideration that he was going to assert his free will and take this man's life, no matter who was there, no matter who was going to stop him, no matter who got in the way. This is what his will was to do. So at that point, he considered himself to be God.
Mm. Wow, that's deep.
So it gets deeper, you know, when we talk about the different things that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Catholic or a Hindu or any of the other gods that we hear about or read about. Sometimes people put God in themselves or put themselves above God in a sense, or put their marriage above God, or put their children above God, or put their jobs above God. You know what I'm saying? So it gets a lot deeper than just, you know, another religion.
Deity or something, yeah.
At that point in time, he wasn't serving our God. So my response to that person would be, our God didn't have anything to do with what took place today. This man considered himself God himself, or he was, you know, whether whatever personal situations him and this young man had, that over power, his love of our God that we know and love. At that point in time, in his perception, it overpowered it.
It's something that you said that, right? I was thinking, I was having a conversation with someone, and I was like, a lot of times in church,
mm-hmm.
we do bad things, right? We do bad things, or we get caught up in certain situations, and we run to the altar. We run to church and ask for forgiveness, and we, you know, Lord, forgive me, and we go on with our lives and pray. But there are issues that we cause that we never faced or confronted. That still exist.
Yes.
So when I was looking at that situation, I was like, yo, no one knows the story behind it. But it could have been, he could have hurt someone or done something, but he went on with his life still going, praising God, still singing, but never dealt with the issue. And that issue been festering in that individual for so long, because listen, it takes a serious hatred or a buildup for someone to actually go into a church full of people that you know and that know you and actually kill someone or shoot someone six or more times while they're on the altar. That's a serious buildup of hate, like of something. That's not an ordinary, I'm just mad at you, you did me wrong. That's something that was built up, and it just exploded like a volcano.
Yep.
And that's the problem, I think, a lot of times with us, even in Christianity or whatever faith you're in, we do things and then we run to God and hide. We lay it at the altar, but we never go to the person that we hurt.
We never confront
that issue.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Deal with that issue. That issue still exists. If I shot a man in the head and then I ran into church to ask God to forgive me for my sins, Lord, forgive me, that man still got a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's wrong. I think it's so many unfinished things that we need to deal with, and we hide behind the Bible and we hide behind our faith and don't confront the real-life issues outside of it. We think we act like the real life issues now become a fantasy and it doesn't exist. But when we act like that, we lying to ourselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, man, you know, God wants us to not only come to him, but he wants us to go to the people or the individuals or those problems of chaos that we created and deal with it.
Right. That's true. But see, everybody don't know how to do that. Everybody don't know how to deal with their issues. I mean, me personally, I got a problem with. I had a situation similar to that, not similar to that, but I had a crazy situation one time. And I'm be honest with you. I'm be perfectly honest with you. And what if you open confession is good for your soul? I ain't gonna tell my business, but basically, I wanted to shoot somebody. You know, I ain't gonna in front. I want to shoot the nigga because he violated. You know what I mean? And I could not see myself confronting this person and say, brother, let me talk to you for a minute. Let me explain to you how I feel. That wasn't how I was feeling. I was feeling like, you need to be 6 feet under right now. You know what I mean? And by the grace of God, see, God intervened in the situation because I couldn't get my hands on something right then and there. Because had I did that, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. So I stand to say this. Everybody don't know how to deal with it. They would deal with it. From stuff like that, everybody don't know how to handle that. You know what I'm saying?
You know, if somebody, I don't know if they got their speakerphone on, if I hear like a noise or something in somebody's phone.
Not mine.
No, it's not mine.
Not mine. I don't have no speakerphone on.
I don't know. It sounds like pinging. I'm in the background. Yes. Our brother Aaron Spradley, the devil's advocate, is on the line with us now, too. And also,
how are you, brothers?
Good.
How you doing?
And my brother Kevin El Gabo, he's on the line with us too today. What's going on, bro?
Hey, how you doing there, Jermaine?
Good, man.
I just came on, so I'm just stepping into your conversation, and I'm just going to listen in and see what you're talking about and everything, and okay. let the Lord lead you. Okay?
All right, I got you. Well, everyone knows the topic. We're talking about why you're God and not mine. And like I said earlier, everyone has different gods. It all depends on the individual, which you've been connected to. It could be people make many things their gods or different faiths or whatever. So the whole topic tonight is not just coming from the Christian point of view. It's coming from the point of view of whatever your God is. So why your God and not my God? You can look at it from you asking the question or someone asking you the question. So we have our brother Aaron Spradley, our Apostle Young is on the line. I think our brother Bill is on the line. I believe Dre is on the line. And Mr. Ex-Catholic is on the line.
Hello, good evening.
Good, man. What's going on with you?
All right. I'm actually going to mute myself.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be on the line listening because I'm actually driving and with my son also in the car. So I'll be on here.
Okay. So,
if I can,
the devil's advocate, when you hear the topic of why your God, not my God, what thoughts go through your mind when you just hear that?
Why my religion and not your religion? Why the person who I serve and not the person who you serve? Basically, what makes my belief better than yours? What makes my belief more valuable than yours? What makes my belief more true or honest than yours? Basically, so it's and when we talk about God, we have to kind of define God in the sense of what we're referring to. I know a lot of times people say, especially church people, say that coming from my background, I can't speak for anybody else's, but when someone talks about God, people would say, well, you know, their car may be their God, or you know, their football game may be their God and stuff like that. I think by definition alone, that doesn't hold value, because no one, I think me and Jay had this conversation before, no one in their right mind would call or see an object like football or their car as their God. When you talk about God, you're actually talking about an entity that created the world, an entity that actually started the world from your belief through your religion. So when people say that, you know, somebody's worshiping their car because they think their car is their God, I don't think that they're referring to the actual entity that started and created the world. I think they more so look at, you know, as it as, you know, something that overtakes their time and, you know, their commitments over their religion or over their beliefs. But to say that your car or, you know, your motorcycle or cleaning your car on Sunday, that's your God because you think that's a little bit more important than your religion, I think that's a false, you know, a false statement. Because by definition alone, that can't be true.
All right. Well, in the Bible, we talk about how, you know, what God says, he is a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what are the reasons that would make him jealous? When you give your praise and worship, when you give away something to something else that he knows belongs to him?
Well, coming from a secular standpoint and not coming from any type of religion, I would say a God who wants 24 hours, 7 days a week, every time, every 5 seconds, every five every second of the day wants you to worship it, him, she, them. I think that kind of freaks me out a little bit. That if somebody actually did that to you, if somebody wanted that much of attention, like for instance, if your kid, me personally, me being a parent, I don't want my kid to thank me every single day and worship me every single day and fall to the floor every single day. I'm not that into myself, basically, even though I created my kid. I'm not that much into myself to think that my kid needs to worship me every second of the day. And if my kid doesn't worship me every second of the day,
somebody has, not to cut you off, but somebody has mm-hmm. the radio up, like someone like is like listening to it, and I guess they got their phone too.
I just tuned into your program on the internet for the first time, so excuse me for the interruption.
Okay, all right.
I was finished with my point, though, Jay.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, it's a few of us on the line. What do anyone have to say about that? That was
the God that I serve don't require me to worship him and praise him 24 hours and 7 days, you know. That, I mean, I don't know about nobody else's God, but my God doesn't do that. All right? And secondly, I would be a poor parent if when I woke up every day and my child looks me in my face and couldn't even acknowledge that I'm even alive. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, and, you know, as a parent, if I'm looking at my son every day and he can't even say good morning, then that's the problem. Okay, just like you want your child to acknowledge you, at least when you first get up, you should say good morning. How you doing, Dad? How you doing, Mom? Good morning. I mean, just like you would want that, God wants that too. Okay, now, all this stuff about 24-hour worshiping God and 24, you know, if somebody is listening, if their God requires them to do that, I will question it too, but I know my God don't require that. So,
but he does require acknowledgement. And I know the Bible does say that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So just off the actual thought of you breathing, my God, right there, just that alone requires praise. Not you just constantly going around, oh, praise, whatever, however you praise, but to acknowledge that, listen, I am breathing because of my God. I am still existing because of my God. And that is something that I believe that he wants you to acknowledge that. You know what I mean? And he doesn't want you to give glory to something else for that reason.
And I mean, I actually agree with that. I mean, if you do serve or you believe in a God that wants that type of attention, I believe that, you know, it's your right to give your God that attention. Just like Apostle Young said, you know, you being a father or you being a mother, you would want your kid to at least acknowledge you. So in that respect, I definitely would agree. The only thing I would have to say to that is everybody's God isn't like that. And I believe that, like I said before, me growing up in church, a lot of pastors and a lot of preachers would say that, you know, you're giving this too much attention. Like you're giving your wife too much attention, and you're supposed to be giving me that type of attention, but you're giving your wife that type of attention. Those are the kind of things that I wouldn't necessarily agree with coming up from the religion that I came up in.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Because God don't want no zombies. Number, you know. God don't want zombies. And God is he's a very intelligent God, so he understands that he there's no way he can require all of our time because we live in the natural. So in the natural,
yeah.
there's things that we have to attend to that's in the natural realm. So he understands that because we're flesh, that there's things that we couldn't stand trying to worship and praise God 24 hours out of a day. I mean, especially on an ongoing basis, because you got to stop the rest because we're in flesh. This flesh has to be regenerated. This flesh has to eat. This flesh has to rest. So, being realistic, there's no way in the world we can praise and worship God 24 hours a day because our bodies will not allow that to happen. All right, but I understand what Aaron is saying though.
Yes. I understand
fully what he's saying, and I definitely agree with what Brother Aaron is saying because there are some pastors that if you listen to them, you would think that you don't supposed to have no family time, you don't supposed to have no time with your wife, you don't supposed to have no, and if you go by all that, how are you going to survive? How are you going to live? Because if you go by that, you don't even have time to go work.
That's true.
Can I have a guest there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." So when we talk about God, we talk about one God, not what you make him. You know, not the things that you have or, you know, how you want to make God. God is not a God who's made by hand. And in the Old Testament era, the Gentiles used to carve their little stone gods or their wooden gods by hand and say, "This is my God." Well, no. God is who have created us. In Genesis 2:1, it says, "And he created the heavens and the earth, and all the host of them," meaning he created everything. That goes back to John 1:3. It says all things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know that God is sovereign. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. We have to look to him with reverence. That when we look into the sky and we see the stars of the sky and the sun beaming upon our face, we know that God is the creator of it. We stand a good foothold on the earth. We know that God brought the earth from the waters in which we may survive above the waters. The air that we breathe, we know that every breath that we breathe has been given to us by God. And there's no thing, there's no sport. You got people who won't go to church because the Super Bowl game is coming on, or for whatever reason, or the World Series is being played. They'll put those things first. God said, "You should not have anything before me." He says, "I am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no things before me." That's in the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's the first commandment. And when I looked at that a moment ago, and I said, well, why is it the first commandment? Because if you put God first before everything, even your wife, even your children, even your house, even your family, you put God first, then God is pleased and he'll continue to bless you. Now, as far as praising God 24 hours a day, no man praises God 24 hours a day walking around the street saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." Praise God. No man does that. But we can praise God in the spirit of being. meaning that we recognize and understand that we are his creation. And when temptation comes to try to sidetrack us from God, you're walking down the street, you see some woman walking by, she's voluptuous, and all of a sudden your flesh wants to say, oh, look at that. But in your heart, it says, thou said, the Bible says, lust not after the woman, because if you lust after her, it's like you fornicated with her in the first place. So the word of God comes back to you, even when you sleep. Sometimes you dream God's thoughts, dream God's dreams of godliness, and you wake up and you could jot things down that God is revealing to you. So he's in our conscious mind and our subconscious mind.
Okay. Right, we hear that. We have a caller from 647 area code. I'm going to let them on the line. How you doing, caller?
Hello. Hi. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you clear.
Good. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much, first and foremost, for taking my call. I am calling you from Canada. My name is Nico, and I think this is a great discussion that's taking place.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in. Is there anything you want to say?
Yes, I would love to. I would like to add that I'd like to first describe what I believe God is. I believe that my God is all that is, meaning that there cannot be anything outside of God. Within the experience of all that is, which is God itself, everything that God has created, because it is all that is, meaning that there's no such thing outside of it, meaning it is created all that is. So if it is created all that is, that includes you and I come from God and everything else that you see around us, okay? It all carries a different frequency and a different vibration of it. Okay, so this is how I see it. This is the aspect I'm coming into this talk with each and every one of you tonight. There's no such thing, I believe, that can be outside of God. So if everything is God, everything's been created from God, we cannot separate what God is and what God isn't. God is all that is. Okay, we might believe this our God, by separation, is this, oh my God, is that. But in truth, how I see it is that all that is, because it was created from the God, from the Creator, from all that is, it cannot be outside of Him. So having a talk, realizing, well, this said this, or this said that, well, it's all inside of the body of God. And what we do is when we subdivide and we separate and we say, well, this said this, or that said this, we are actually subdividing something that cannot be subdivided, because it all comes from within the aspect of all that is, which is the Creator. So what I'm here to share with all of us is that you, me, everything all around us are the Creator, is the Creator, experiencing within the Creator itself what the Creator is. Nico, right now, as he speaks to each and every one of you, is experiencing an aspect of Nico, but Nico's not Nico. Nico is part of the Creator. Nico is God. You are God. There's no such thing that a God can create other aspects and push it outside of Him and be separated from us. It's impossible. A Creator such as great as God, nothing can be outside of God. We are all within the body of God itself, experiencing different experiences. My experience, for example, is married with two beautiful children and a beautiful wife, doing what I have to do on a day-to-day basis. Okay, so coming to the aspect of it, I really truly hope that if there's a key that I can give to each and every one of you, is that let's stop separating. The God that you're talking about and the dog God that you're talking about is the same one. Nothing can be outside of the Creator. It's all within. Thank you.
We appreciate you calling in and tuning into Dirty Church Radio, and we thank you for voicing your thoughts and your mind, and I really feel like you were not just voicing your mind, but that you was voicing from your heart on the line here tonight. If there's anyone else that want to even just comment on what our brother from Canada just said, you can do so
yes,
at this time.
Brother Jay, this is Kev.
All right.
Hello.
And one thing we know about God is that God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. God is omnipotent, meaning all-knowing. God is omnipresent, meaning everywhere at the same time. God dwells within the believers, but he will not dwell within the unclean thing. So unless you accept him as his word is given, and that as the word is written according to the Holy Scriptures, then you are, when you accept him according to his word, and we should speak on his word and what he wrote and what he said, because this is God speaking. In 1 Peter chapter, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says all scripture was given not by the will of man, I'm paraphrasing, not by the will of man, but holy men spoke as the Spirit of God moved upon. So we have God's living word in the Holy Scripture, and that's why when we speak of God, and God has many names in the Holy Scripture. I'm not sure, I never heard of Miko, which I would like to look up to find out what that means.
No, that's my name. My name is Nico.
Oh, your name is Miko.
Yes, my
okay.
name is Nico. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, in the Holy Scripture, when God talked to Moses, and Moses said to God in Genesis chapter 3:14, he said, "What? Who shall I say sent you?" And he said, "I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you." And the reason why I'm saying this is that we can focus on who God is. And now, when he said, "I am that I am, tell him I am sent me," in the Hebrew, Jay, if you look at the blue letter Bible, "I am that I am" means Lord in English. And the word Lord in English and Hebrew is Yahweh or Jehovah. And in the Greek, it's Adonai. So he has names that we can call on him and call him by name. You know, as a person, there's three persons of the Godhead. Romans, First John is the fifth chapter, verse 5 and 7 says, "The Lord thy God is one God." There's three in the person of God, and those three are one. And we know that to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But in the beginning, it was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost before the Word became the Son and dwelt amongst us. So
okay.
All I'm saying is that we have to understand when we say God, we don't want to use it lightly. We want to recognize that he is all-powerful. He hears and knows everything we think, and he's watching us now and guiding us.
Okay. Well, you know what, the brother from Canada, I got
yes,
one thing to
yes.
ask you.
Yes, sir.
How did you find out about Dirty Church Radio?
I actually was going to host a show right now on giving our power away, and I realized that Block Talk Radio itself, it was actually too soon for me to do it, So I was skimming through it, and I saw your beautiful ad on it, and something told me to click on it, and this is why I'm here. Well, I know what the something's up. It's always the energy of all that is, of the Creator. So this is why I'm here, sharing space with each and every one of you. So, yes, sir.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You ask. Go ahead, talk.
I just wanted to kind of make a rhetorical question, I guess.
Yes.
Not necessarily totally dealing with Yumiko is kind of for everybody, I guess. But I'm quite sure, you know, you'll be able to answer too. But I understand where Nico's coming from. I understand where our brother Kevin's coming from. Kevin is basically viewing God based on the Bible, based on the scriptures. Nico, I believe, I don't necessarily know if you're basing your belief just based on a particular book more than just basing your belief on you believe that God is in everything, and it's impossible for God not to necessarily be in nothing, because since God created everything, He is in everything. Is that what you're saying, so to speak?
That's correct. And to answer your question is, I did not read this from a book. I actually channel it through.
They're trying to be classy tonight.
Okay.
Okay. This is from within my higher self that I channeled down. That's to give you a direct answer.
Okay. I would say that, coming from a very neutral standpoint, I believe that both of you are right. In the sense that everybody has a right to believe in whomever they choose. Even on this phone, everybody has a different perception of God. Everybody. Because God can only be your personal concept of how you view God. And basically, some people view God through the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, the Christian Bible. Other people view God through the Torah and the Tanakh. Other people view God through the Quran and the Hadith. And other people do it through many other ways, whatever types of religions are basically out there. For someone to put their belief on the mass and everybody else, I think that's where it becomes a problem, because I think you can't basically tell me who my God is to me, because it's something personal. And because none of us know, we all believe this, it can't be something that you basically can tell me from fact or, you know, true or untrue, because it's something that's a part of me. It's something that I believe, and I can't argue your belief. I may be able to argue your religion, but I can't argue your belief, because that's a personal thing.
Well let me ask
Beautiful.
Let me ask Nico.
Yes.
What gave you...
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Where did you get your God consciousness from? Like, where did you... What you know now and what you believe now, where did you get it from?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a very fair question. Many years ago, I went through an experience where I actually lost everything. I almost lost my family, and I knew that I had to make a change for what Nico was living and how he was living, and he had to decide right there what he had to do. So I took some time apart from my wife, and I actually went into the mountains of Spain, and I saw a house that was abandoned in the mountains of Spain, and I actually heard a message that said, you have to unlearn what you've learned, meaning whatever your parents have taught you through life, whatever society has taught you, whatever your teachers have taught you, et cetera, you have to unlearn what you've learned. So what I had to do, I had to go through a process of actually doing what I would usually do and do it differently. opposite. So if I wore clothes, I stopped wearing clothes, more or less. If I was awake in the day, I would go to sleep at night, and I would go out into the forest at night. I'd blindfold myself. I was trying to actually bring what was abnormal into what was normal. When I actually, through this experience, started actually going over the belief systems of what I was taught, meaning that going at night without clothes blindfolded was normal now. It was part of every night that I was going out, not wearing clothes, not eating as much, et cetera, et cetera. I started actually understanding and seeing parts of the self that I never saw. I was living alone. I started meditating. I started going into different aspects of Nico and who I am, and I started seeing that there is more to Nico than what you see right now. Nico and his divinity itself is attached to all that is, and he is attached to his higher self. Within his higher self, he's got many lives that are happening right now, and Nico had to go through an experience of seeing what he saw. I, right now, because I have made the connection with a higher part of myself, I can actually hear, I can actually sense, I can actually feel when there's when there is work or anything to be said, that it actually assists me within the co-creation aspect of me sharing or healing or helping or going on a day-to-day life.
Nico, may I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Now, this experience that you've actually encountered,
yes, sir.
It is very, without a shadow of a doubt, real to you, correct?
Absolutely.
You literally experience everything that you are saying you experience, correct?
I stand within my truth, absolutely.
Okay. The reason why I ask that is because that is where I don't think people can necessarily question. Not necessarily question, but I don't think people can actually say that what you experience isn't true, because
absolutely,
it's true to you. It's literally true to you. You've experienced it. And through your experience, you found something higher. And I believe it's your right as an individual, as a human being, to find that. And also, for someone who actually finds their God through meditating in God's word, which is, any of the holy books from any of the other religions, as well, I believe it's their experience, their right, and it's true and real to them. That's all I wanted to say.
Absolutely. I'd like to just add something really quickly. I know probably other people want to say a lot of more things, but I wanted to just say with something you just touched right now, within my belief system of God being all that is, there must be all that is within experience, meaning that all these people that you say cannot believe in the same thing, of course not. There must be all that is for the balance to take place, for the experience to take place. So you cannot grab a whole amount of people and actually have them believe one certain way. Each and every one of them should keep their individualities and their vibrational aspects, like you were saying before. So that was awesome. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
Apostle Louis Young, I know you've been listening. Let me hear you, bro. Let me hear something. What you've heard so far. What you've heard, how has it made you feel? What's going on in your mind right now?
It hasn't made me feel no kind of way. I mean, nothing that I've heard thus far has changed my perception on how I view God. Even though everything sounds so eloquent, so angelic, so wonderful, it's his experience. And we had this discussion before, when somebody's believing in whatever they're believing in, that's what they're believing in. And to me, he hasn't said anything really that we haven't said. He's just saying it in a more holistic type of he's speaking from a holistic point of view, or a holistic point of being. He believes, Brother Nico, he believes that he is a part of all that is. All right? And we believe the same thing. We believe that we are connected with God, and God is connected with us. But we believe that in the spiritual aspect. All right? So, to be honest, you know, he's pretty much saying the same thing, but he's putting a real holistic twist on it, and I say that for lack of a better terminology.
You know something? Okay. Well, I just want to say, hello.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that. I know everyone has been, you know, listening so far. And just to be able to be on the phone and really, like, hear people calling in from Canada and different places, a mind that's real far away from us, that has his own experience, his own road that he's going down. I mean, to me, listening, man, this whole thing is very interesting to me. Like, and it's like, normally you can't really get this too much, you know what I mean? Like, it's like really great to be able to have this type of setting to be able to talk and not to condemn no one or to look down on no one, but to actually, sometimes it's good just to actually just listen and hear what someone has to say.
That's very, very, very intelligent for anyone to say. And because you said it, I call you intelligent right now. I mean, because that's basically where everyone needs to be. That mindset that you just portrayed right now is where everybody should be at when it comes to every aspect of belief. Because I think because belief is something so personal and something so valuable to a lot of people, we do just need to listen, but it's hard for people to listen. And one of the reasons why it's hard for people to listen is because religious people aren't looking for any more answers because they believe or feel as though they already have the answer. And the only answers that they need are from what's normal to them. And what's familiar to them. But I think a very intelligent person, a person who has wisdom, I believe that they will and will continue to listen, because you may not, I'm not saying you may not, you don't know everything. And to claim and to assert that you do, you are deeming yourself as a liar. And I really, really think that it's awesome for, you know, people to really, like you said, this setting.
Well,
it's a noise in the back. What's that noise?
I don't know.
Hello?
I think that the reason why what Brother Nico said was received was the manner in which he delivered it. I think we all are intelligent on the line, but, you know, I didn't sense no sense of sarcasm. I didn't sense no sense of I'm trying to prove a point that religion is bad. That's not how he came across. The way Brother Nico came across, it was very palatable to where it was easily received. And in the manner that it was received, it didn't provoke any need or unnecessary need to defend anything. And I believe that if anything we could take from what he said, we should take how he delivered what he said. Because your delivery of whatever you say is gonna determine, even if it's right or wrong, it's gonna determine how it was received.
Now, and that right there, what you just said, that is so true. That is very true. I believe words are, when a man speaks, it's like music played. The tones that are played determine the outcome of how it's received. You know what I'm saying? You can write, I mean, you can write, you can have beautiful words that are being said, but if it's said harshly and disrespectfully, it won't receive, you won't receive it with the meaning of what the words say. All you're going to receive is the tone in which you said.
I mean, me being as honest as I can, I know Apostle Lou was referring to me when he talked about sarcasm, and I know I can be very sarcasm, and I do it purposely, and I do it to stir up a lot of times, not all the time, but I do it a lot of times to stir up conversations and discussions and to get people riled up. Now, if anybody knows me on a personal level, on a very personal level, then everybody knows that I am nowhere as sarcasm as I portray on the show. And I, like I said, the reason I do that is so that sometimes the discussions can actually go somewhere and it can get heated and very interesting. But in the respect of what you said is actually true. But I don't even think that this conversation and this topic kind of can leave room for any of that. I mean, of course it can, but I don't think where it is now it can actually it doesn't need sarcasm. It doesn't need judgment. It doesn't need, you know, any of those things, because like I said, belief is something personal. And once you violate my person, my belief, then I think that's where I think people would step out of line in that sense. Because like I said, belief is something personal, and I own that. That's mine. And it's my right to believe it and to share it. And if people want to accept it, awesome. If they don't want to accept it, awesome as well.
That's great. Our brother Dre, that's on the phone, right?
Yep.
You've been listening so far, man. Like, what's going through your mind right now? Hearing this conversation,
well, listening to what everybody was saying, there's some points that, you know, I agree with, and then it's some points that I disagree with, especially with what Brother Aaron said. He mentioned earlier that he don't think people would necessarily have, you know, a product or an object as their God. And it's, to me, it's troubling, I guess, because we can't put ourselves in someone else's shoes unless we walk in their shoes, basically, unless we were raised like they were raised. So when I hear, you know, when I hear him say that, the other part of it was, you know, people have their own prerogative and they can basically choose, or you have to respect their beliefs on whatever they believe their God is. And the point that I'm trying to make is, I personally know some people that look at money as being their God, and that's the way that they were raised. And, no money is the creator, but it is a tool that causes change in the world. And to them, that's how they were raised. Money is their God. They look at it as their way to survive, their way to do whatever it is that they need to do to take care of their families, to do business, or to do, you know, basically to cause change. So now, what do we as Christians say to someone that look at money or any other false God, like the minister earlier, you know, he said earlier that they were making these wooden idols and they were worshiping them and calling it this, and they had the sun god and they had all these other gods that they were making up. So now we're in the, you know, the 21st century. I believe that people are doing the same thing. They're just not carving it. You know, it's other objects
that they consider to be their God, because that's just the way they wasn't raised with a Christian background or a Hindu back. They wasn't, you know, raised to have some higher power to be there. They believe in what they see right now, what's going on right now. Half of these guys in the streets, they not, you know, they wasn't raised in the church, so they don't come to us with the same beliefs that we have. So if they come to us and telling us their reality is money is their God, what do we say to that?
Well, if I may answer you to respond to what you said, you're right. I can't necessarily speak for everyone. And within the context, excuse me? I can't. Within the context of the Bible, I won't necessarily speak on that either. But what I will speak on is when you do talk about money and when you do talk about cars, I'm talking about in a general sense of how most sane people view God, which is the creator of the universe, one who answers prayers, a very personal deity or entity that constructed life, and that has personality. And I do not think, could be wrong, but from a general standpoint, I do not think that people view money and people view cars in the same manner they view a God in that sense, a general definition of what God represents. Now, like I said, if people do view God in that sense, I think they need to seek some type of counsel. But, again, I can't speak for everybody. From my knowledge of the general sense of general definition of what God is, that's how I see it.
Well, I see
when you talk about money,
right? People
right.
kill for money,
right?
Like
what I just said though. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying. Not at all. People do a lot of things for a lot of stuff, you know. But I'm just saying in a general definition of what God is and God represents, I do not believe that people put money, cars, in that same category, in the sense of this is the being and this is the entity that created the world. This is the entity that I actually pray to at night because this personality is going to answer my prayers. This person has a mind. This person has concepts, this person has feelings. Whatever this God is, will most people view God as. I don't think that people generally say that's God.
Brother Aaron, what I'm saying is step outside of your general idea of what God is to you. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because these guys that I'm referring to never grew up in church. Nobody taught them to pray. Nobody taught them to believe in a higher power. Nobody taught them to, you know what I'm saying? The only time they stepped foot in the church was at a funeral or a wedding. Other than that, you know, they could care less about, you know, who created the world. They wasn't here then. So in their mindset is what I'm approaching this conversation from. How do you then tell someone that didn't have that upbringing that you had, that didn't have somebody to take them to Sunday school, that didn't have somebody to teach them, you know, the scriptures. What do you say to a brother that have that didn't have that looks at the reality is I was born in 1985. I never been to church. My mom's whatever. She was on drugs. She did this. She did that. My father taught me how to do this, or my uncle, or the guys in the streets raised me. They taught me how to get money, and that's what I look at. So what do we say to an individual that don't have no concept of this higher power or this God?
What I would say to them,
how do you convert them?
Psychiatric Health. What was that book you said it was, Aaron?
This is Kevin. Can I say something on that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, okay, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah,
when we talk about God, oftentimes we fail to talk about the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And what it comes down to is we know that he died on the cross for our sins and that he rose on the third day for our salvation. We know that he was God where he said, I and my Father are one. That's John 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, if you look up the word Godhead, it talks about the three persons of God. So there's three times that the word Godhead is written in the Bible. Now, we know, each and every person that's on this phone, is that we're alive solely because God has deemed it so.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that one day, and we're going back into Ecclesiastes, one day we all must give up the ghost. You know, it says it's a time to be born and it's a time to die. Now, before we leave this earth, we must come to the realization that God, that Jesus Christ was God and died for our sins. And there is no other who died for our sins save God. And save the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the 14th verse of John 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So what should concern us more so is the fact that we have a Savior. If you don't know the Lord and the pardoning of your sins when you leave this earth, then you have to accept the consequences of what you believe. So we can't just believe anything. We must believe that he is, and that he is the life, the light, and the truth.
I meant that.
May I add something to
yes,
that?
Yes, go ahead.
If everybody's had a turn.
Yes.
I don't know if any of it, okay. I know for myself, as it was stated before, I'd like to say it's a great conversation. Everybody has such great points. Thank you so much for sharing. It's amazing, you know. I'm with family here. I really feel it. I wanted to tell you that, for me, through my experience itself, the true, really true, for Nico to truly feel and know what is his truth is that he must experience it, okay? He must experience it not so much from reading a book that somebody else created for him, or that somebody else told him, or whatever system he came into. He truly, for him to truly know what's true within his reality, he must really experience it, okay? And what I mean by experience, that he must go through the process of actually seeing and feeling and encountering it in his way, what the truth is. And regarding God itself, I truly believe we've been taught so much to give our power away by listening to other people's truth, you know, other people's truth, other people's belief system. This book said this, this said that. But how do you truly know? How do you really truly know? Were you there? Did you smell it as it happened? Did you see it with your eyes? Did you feel it? Were you beside it when it happened? And most of the times, our belief systems are built on not our experiences, but other experiences that have actually happened to other people. And as we come into this world and we experience this world, you know what? We're told to take this program. But really, what have we felt? Now, it is our self-responsibility to take action for how we think, how we feel, how we act, how we speak. So really owning up to somebody else's truth, we should be very, very careful. We should always stay within our heart. We should always open our heart, and we should allow the energies from what we receive within the experience of us experience within purity and not so much within a program that was created for each and every one of us here. Your truth is your truth.
Hey, brother,
stand firm within your truth.
If I could just say this.
Absolutely.
In 2 Timothy 3:16.
Hold on, Jay.
What's going on?
The brother wasn't finished.
Oh, okay, my bad.
It's okay. Bless you, my brothers. Thank you so, so much. No, I'm done. Thank you so much.
You go ahead.
Please.
We want to hear you finish saying what you were saying.
The true power of finding its own light is to actually truly dive in to the truth of who you are, the vibration, and empower yourself and to see all the doorways that will open up to you. What I practice, to be sincere with each one of you, is magic. Okay, I work with energies. I see energies. I see what most people don't see. That at first, when I was young, when I saw this, I thought it was the worst thing I could ever experience, because most of my friends, my family members, nobody could see what I could see. But I was born with this. I don't run away from this anymore. I embrace it. I feel that if I was given this gift or I was given this opportunity to see what most people can't see, then you know what? I shouldn't run away from it anymore. I should stand firm and adjust my pillars and look at it straight in the eye and see exactly what I see. And I see that each and every one of us is beautiful. Each and every one of us, regardless of our color, what we came from, what experience we had, what everything, we are beautiful and we were created equals. Okay? Regardless if an angel comes down and it has the power to do whatever it wants to do and its beauty and everything, our Creator, within the fairness of all that is, gave life to both, to all of us, and it did it with equality. But with the experience, with the allowing of the experience for each and every one of us, as we're listening right now, to experience our reality and our truth. So within yourself, within the aspect of yourself and finding your own God and seeing who your true God is, make sure you truly feel who your God is by truly feeling, seeing, tasting, immersing yourself into the pool of all that is, and come out refreshed. And no one could ever tell you ever what God is your God. Because you truly met God in the eye. And when that time comes, you understand. You truly do.
Okay.
Thank you.
We appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
And before anyone else says, it's a caller that's been waiting on the line, and I'm going to let them on right now. Hello, caller?
Yes. Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm your mother's friend.
Oh, how you doing? You been listening to the show?
Yeah. Yep.
What
do you
feel about?
You're doing good, huh?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I got a question I wanted to ask you. It's family affair. With the oldest daughter I got and the youngest daughter, but the oldest daughter seemed to not want to, be in your life like she should be, like the other one.
Oh,
and I'm wondering what's the problem, because on my end, and nobody's on the family's end, there's nothing wrong. But whatever she's got, a grudge or whatever's going on, she just got married to this guy she's been with about 11 years. She's been with him. And it looks like everything's been going like for him and the child before they even married, when they're living together. It's been a lot of confusion. And I don't know what the problem is. I've been married, 28 years before my husband passed. And it's something about, you know, when she was about my grandbaby's age. It was just, see, my mom spoiled her, and she didn't want to stay with us on account of him. And it looked like she wants to put me in the process of being, like, to blame for that. And I can't understand. I talk to her, and I tell her I love her and stuff like that. And we could communicate just like the other girl if she would just turn around or do better than what she's doing.
Uh-huh.
So that's the question I want to inform you about on one thing there. What do you think could be the problem there on that side of her?
Apostle Young?
Well, ma'am, I'm just going to give you a short answer to that.
Uh-huh.
Your daughter right now is focused on her marriage.
Right.
You know, you got to give her space to develop her marriage.
Uh-huh.
Once she gets to the place where she feels comfortable, because it could be something going on that has her at a place where she's dealing with some trust issues, you know, and she don't. And right now, she might not want to be from around her husband.
Right, right.
All right. And don't necessarily mean that it's an issue that she has with y'all. Maybe it's something that she's trying to deal with to get some sense of stability in her own personal life and her own situation with her marriage.
Right.
All right. And in the meantime, what you should be doing, ma'am, is reassuring her that you all love her. All right. Just keep telling her you love her. But in the meantime, you pray that whatever the situation is, that God can fix it so she can start coming back around and spending time with her brothers, sisters, and mother.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know,
it started way before she got married and everything. It's been a lot of confusion, and why this is, I don't know. But I just said, only thing now it's left in the hands of the Lord, because
Just pray, and you keep reassuring your daughter that you love her. That no one has nothing against her, and when she's ready, she'll come around.
Uh huh.
She'll come around, but you just keep praying for her. That's all. That's all you can do. She might be dealing with something, ma'am, and she might not be ready to share with her family what's going on. When she gets ready, she'll come around.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, you just keep praying.
And one more thing
to add to that, when she does come around,
uh-huh,
make sure you have a whole bunch of love waiting for her.
That's right. You're right.
So
I like for it to be
around,
like that, but
yeah.
You know, when one's all right and the other ain't all right, it's a little confusion. You know, it's not supposed to be like that. You
mm-hmm.
know, family should be together.
That's
no
right.
No matter what, you know, but
that's not always the case, ma'am.
And you know, you shouldn't hold grudges. You should let everything go. Let bygones be bygones. Start, you know. But the only thing you can do, like you said, just leave it in his hands.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it, ma'am.
Well, tonight I hope that the little bit of advice or insight that was given to you tonight, that it helped you somewhat and helped you look at it a little bit more on the brighter side than the negative side of it.
Right.
I'll be praying for you. I know Pastor Young be praying for you, and whoever else believes in prayer will be praying for you.
That's right.
We hope that you continue to listen to Dirty Church Radio.
Every
now and then, we're available. This is the first call we actually got from or call from this angle, like this on the show. But listen, we welcome everything. It doesn't matter what it is.
All right.
So we appreciate you, and just stay tuned in, and we pray that you follow the show.
Okay.
And you have a good night.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Hello? Now, hey, Jay, can I say something right quick?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
When I said earlier, that wasn't towards Brother Aaron. I myself have said some things sarcastically, and we all been guilty of it. And when I said that, I was saying that because I didn't sense none from this brother, and that don't mean I agree with what he was saying. But the way he said what he said, it makes you think. Even though it didn't make me change my process, but I was able to hear what he was saying and gather what I needed to gather from it, and it was very enlightening. And I just wanted to say, because I know the devil's advocate's role, and I know his role is very important. And, you know, I even want to apologize, because I told Brother Jay I was going to do this today. And before we get off the air, I said something yesterday, and I think it was taken out of context to a degree. But when I said yesterday to Brother Aaron that if you can't stay on topic, maybe you shouldn't be a host, I was out of line, and I'm apologizing over the air to Brother Aaron, and I want him to know I respect his position, I respect his role in the show, and I was not saying that he should not be a host. And if he took it as if that's what I was saying, then I have to apologize. Even if he didn't take it that way, I still have to apologize, because I don't want nobody to think that there's any division amongst the co-host and the host, because there is none. We're doing the show. He has a role to play. I have a role to play. And Minister Miller has a role to play. So, you know, I just hope and pray that no one thinks that we have issues with each other, because we don't. That's why I'm apologizing. I'm a man, and I'm man enough to, when something is brought to my attention, it's my job to right any offenses. So, Brother Aaron, I'm apologizing. Hope you accept my apology. I know you better accept it, because we got to see each other outside the realms of the show. So, I'm apologizing on behalf of, you know, myself, Dirty Church Radio, and also as being one of the co-hosts. I would never want to make my fellow co-hosts feel like, you know, they don't have their position is not important. So accept my apology, and I'm going to stop there.
I, of course, I accept the apology, but like I said, if whoever knows me knows I'm not the type of person to take things, you know, on the chin, or to where, you know, certain my feelings on my sleeve. I'm not that type of person. And if I do have a problem with anybody, I'm the type of person that will let you know that I have a problem. Lou, I know, you know, me and you, as well as me and Jay, disagree on a lot of things, and I know certain things get heated and you know, situations and topics get heated, you know, and all, but I don't take that personal. I don't take that at all personal.
Well, I knew that, but, you know, we got listeners, so
mm-hmm.
We got to consider the listeners. They don't know how we do. So that's why
from the lady, the young lady that called in, and when we was talking, like some people don't know, like just like I was telling them, even if we was talking about a football game, my team against your team or whatever we was talking, when we talk, we don't say it in a calm way. We get excited about what we enjoy talking about. So some people that might not know that will look at it the wrong way. But like I said to everyone, all the listeners out there, this is Dirty Church Radio, where no topic or issue is out of bounds. And we're so happy that whoever is tuning in. But if anything is being said on this show that may offend you, or it may be too sensitive of a topic, we do understand if you have to tune out. And that's something that I will state all the time on this show, because we really want people to listen to the show that are willing to deal with issues and deal with topics that normally people don't want to face or talk about. And to do that is not easy.
Right, and I mean everything that was said is cool. To get back on topic,
yes,
our brother Dre. I don't know if our brother Dre is still there.
I'm still here, brother.
Okay. To go back to your question, or to go back to your answer, and I even think that our brother Kevin had something to say about it as well. But to go back on your answer. When you talked about the men or the young men that didn't grow up in the church, yes, like I said before, I don't necessarily know everyone's mind, and I don't necessarily claim to know anyone's mind, but I've asked people that didn't go to church, and I've talked to people that never were raised in the church before, and what I was referring to was more of not my general definition of God, what the general definition of God is, especially in our society, in our culture, which is predominantly a Christian culture in America, and a lot of times people actually do have a sense of God being a higher power as an entity, as a mind who created. Now, I'm saying for those who necessarily don't know and would say that their God is a car, they believe that their God is a car, and their car actually created the world, and their money actually created the world. Their money has a mind. Their money basically allows them, you know, to wake up or whatever the case is. In a general definition sense of what that God means, that's what I was referring to. Now, you know, like I said, I'm not speaking for everybody because I can't speak for everybody. You know, I'm just saying in a broad general sense of the definition of what God is or means.
Hello?
Yes.
You know something? I was just looking here at money, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ever read the scripture, Ecclesiastes? It says, it's Ecclesiastes 10 and 19, it says, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes that really can make it easy for money to become a person's God, because money gets results.
Right.
And normally with money, if you got it, you don't have to sit down and pray and be like, give me that. You can just use it right there and get what you want.
Right.
So something that can produce immediate thoughts, immediate
result. Right.
It's something very powerful that can become a God in a person's mind and
right.
in their conscience, because they don't. It's not a whole lot they have to go through. All they have to do is actually get it and spend it.
Right.
What you said. Okay, I understand what you're saying, Brother Andre, or Brother Dre. I understand what Jay's saying, and I understand what Aaron is saying. All right, and this is what Aaron is saying. All right. Aaron is saying that money in the normal thinking person, money is not God. Because money, other than it being spent, can't create anything. It can't make air. It can't make the earth. It don't have the ability to create. It can give you the ability to buy things to create, but it can't. Money can't sit on the table and create another human being. All right. But what Jermaine and Dre is saying, money can be godlike. It can be godlike in the instance to where when you want it so bad, you'll spend all your time and energy to get it, to
right.
have access to it. So
right.
to a degree, it's godlike.
Right.
It can never be God, but it can be godlike.
Right.
So
but, you know, I agree with you saying. That's so powerful about it, though, right? Let's say I have a neighbor that lives next door to me, and he's a man that prays, but he doesn't have a lot of money. He's about to get kicked out his house. He's losing his cars, and he's losing stuff. Me, money is my God because I make it, and I put everything on money. My
right.
bills is paid. I can get whatever I want. The person, I can look at that man and be like, Dad, he must be crazy. Praying to something he can't see that's not producing any immediate results for him, and all
right.
I got to do out here and go and spend it right now. So I'd rather serve this because this produces something for me in time, right? Like right now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, normally money is something that gets you what you desire. Your desires here on earth, money can produce that for you. And then if money is getting me all that, and then I'm looking at the next man who's going through and he's struggling, but he's praying to someone I can't see, and I still see him in that situation, it'd make it more easy for me to look at money as my God and not want that God that's I can't see with my physical eye doing anything for him. And that's
yeah,
what God gets jealous of.
I understand that.
I think what Apostle was saying, yeah, he's saying that you may view money God-like, the attributes of God, meaning that God can be your provider, God can be your source of help, all of those things. But in the same sense, what he was saying was no one in their right mind from a general standpoint looks at God as the one who actually made the heavens and the earth.
So when they back in the day when they built the carving images, where they would pour gold and make images and worship those things at God, how you think they was looking at those things?
Like I said, I wasn't referring to the Bible. I was only referring to the 21st, not necessarily the 21st century, but I was talking about our time and age, what we comprehend. They actually lived in a different time. In a
but
different
I can
culture.
Answer that.
But did you hear what Trey said?
I can
hear what Trey said.
He said you
can answer that. Hold on, can I answer that? Can I answer that? You said when they made golden images and worshiped those images, what did they view those images as? They
uh-huh.
view those images as what they perceive God is. So when that man casted that image, in his mind, that's what he saw when he imagined God.
And that's
so,
what I'm saying. That thing that they create gets
it's
in
still
the way
a God-like
of
image. It's a God-like image. It's
yes,
a God-like image.
Yo,
that's like
I'm saying that it's not a God-like image. But that God-like image is what will bring jealousy to God. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
But that's true, but that's not what we were talking about.
No, but what I'm saying, to God, you have made that thing become a God.
That's to God. But to us, we talking about two different things.
Yeah, we are talking about
two different things. Because the bottom line is, that man is rich. He feels as though he don't need God because he got money, but he still acknowledges the fact that he don't need God.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, what do I need to pay to God for when I got money? he's still acknowledging that he believes that there is a supreme being called God. But he don't need to worship the supreme being called God because he got all that he needs. He got money.
Well, not in all cases, because he might not believe that in the supreme being of God. He might believe that money is his God, whether you say it's God-like or not, and not believe anything higher than that. Because
right.
money is what produces for him. And money is what makes him exist and survive. The money is feeding him. He doesn't have to pray to anything to eat. He doesn't have to pray to anything to make a door open. He can open all the doors for him.
What I think, I just think that you're kind of missing the mark of like.
I know what you're saying.
The concept of God
in general, that God the creator of the world.
That's all
but
I'm
we're
saying. Now, when you are talking about what you're talking about, how the Christian God is jealous, that's a totally different story. And coming from that point of view, I would agree with you.
Right.
I would definitely agree with you, because yeah, you're right. I mean, because it says it in the scriptures, and coming from that point of view, you can't argue that because it says it.
But if the person's money is God, what you're saying has no bearing, because they could care less that God is a jealous God, because their God is money, right?
That's a valid point.
It's a true point. But if we go about what you're saying, God being the jealous God because they're worshiping money instead of him, that's irrelevant because their God is money.
Why your God, not mine?
Not my God.
So how about if that person says that to you? Why your God that you go to church on Sundays and not my God? I got all this money. Like we're saying it's the poll. If you asking the question or it's asked to you.
Right. And you know how I would answer it? You know how I would answer it? I would answer it just like this. A day going to come with all them stacks of millions and millions of dollars you got, it's going to be worthless. What you going to do then? What's your God that you say is your money? When that money becomes worthless and you can't use it,
mm-hmm.
What's your God going to do for you then?
But how about they say right now, you're praying to your God for what I already have.
Mm.
How you know what I'm praying to my God for?
No,
what I'm saying is,
if someone was like, listen, you go to church, everybody know everybody in church been through something, and you're like, Lord, please, I need a way made. Lord, listen, I'm about to lose my house. Well, Lord, I'm in a financial bind. I need a financial blessing. I need a blessing. And the person comes at you, what you're praying to your God for, I already have. So you might as
well
just come pray to me.
Maybe God
give it to you.
It for you so you can be a blessing to me. Okay, let's go. Hand it over. Since you got so much, maybe God got you in my eyesight because you got what I need. God is going to use you to bless me to get it. How about that?
Can I ask you a question, Jay?
May I?
My question is, since we're talking about, you know, whose God is basically better, let's say I'm a Muslim. And
no,
I believe
why
in
your God
Allah.
Not mine?
Why your God not mine? And let's say I'm a Muslim, right? And I'm kind of in limbo. I grew up as a Christian, but then I went to prison and I became a Muslim, and I, you know, started to follow that faith, and that faith made sense to me. But because my upbringing was Christianity, and you know, every now and again, you know, I would visit my mom's church and pay respect. You know, I would actually, you know, go in or whatever, and I started to question my faith, and I would say, well, you know, sometimes this Christianity, you know, seems good. It's more personal, but a lot of times I don't necessarily see it working for me. In the sense that, like, I know my mom, like for instance, you know, I know my mom prays and prays and prays, and sometimes her prayers go through, and sometimes they don't. What would you say to that person who base their decision based upon, you know, prayers being answered sometimes and prayers not being answered. And let's say his mom kept praying for something and she never got it and she died. But he was still kind of asking, like, well, I really want to know, like, what did she, you know, why did she still believe in it if she didn't, if her prayers never got answered?
May I add a little bit to this, if I may, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hi. Within prayer itself, what I've learned, what I've experienced, maybe I should just talk about money very quickly. I've had money through my experience, and I've lost all my money. Now I just have balance within money. I don't have too much of it, and I don't have too little of it. I just carry a balanced life where I don't need anything, but I don't disrespect it as well. So that's the energy with it. With prayers, prayers itself, I used to believe when I was awakening to myself that if I prayed, the more I would receive, the more I would get heard. And I understood through a teaching that I actually encountered was it's not just the words that you say, it's the energy you're emitting when you're praying, okay? Within the vibration of all this is, there is vibration, and it's vibration things, meaning that if I want a new car or if I want money, and I say, I want money, okay, I'm stating exactly what my goal is, what I'm requesting, but the energy behind it is need. So the vibrational aspect that goes with those words to wherever it goes comes back what I'm always vibrating in, meaning that if I'm happy, I usually tend to attract happy people in my life. If I'm a really sad, down type of person, I usually tend around my group to have that type of people around me. The same goes with need. If you carry a vibration of need and you are praying and you're stating that vibration of this is what I need, this is usually what comes back to you in return, more need. Okay?
Wow.
There's an intelligence with vibration. So it is very important wherever you stand within your truth, within prayer, first, who am I praying to? Second, have I experienced the entity I'm praying to? And if not, why am I still praying to that person or to that energy itself? And third, when I'm stating my words of what I'm choosing that I would like, how am I vibrating? Am I vibrating that I feel that I deserve what I'm asking for? Or do I feel that I need it because I don't have enough in my life? Where do I stand to get that vibrational energy back? So it is very important to always look at self, see how you're vibrating, what you wish to acquire, and acquire it from a point of balance, not a point of need. Sorry.
Wow.
Thank you.
I have a question. I'm going to go on topic, but I heard, your brother, what's your name, brother? Eco, brother Echo, that's your name?
Nico. As in Nicholas? Nico. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
I don't really mean to go off topic, but I hear you talking about, like, I have a couple questions for you about, you said vibrations and this and that, what have you. So are you like a psychic or something like that?
No, not at all. I'm a healer. I'm a teacher, and I teach truly. What I teach is for the soul, for the person that I'm talking to, for who I'm teaching, to actually recognize themselves for who they truly are. That's it. I'm not here to heal anybody. I'm not here to save anybody. I'm here to take self-responsibility for my actions. But what empowers me the most is seeing other people, seeing themselves for who they truly are, and recognizing themselves and living within that vibration.
So who do you pray to now?
Who do I pray to? I pray to the creator of all that is, God.
Okay, and you get results?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. What I'm speaking to you right now is not just words. I heard there's also a vibration attached to it. You, by listening to me, all of you, you're very intelligent people, very intelligent. Actually, this is the most intelligent Block Talk radio thing that I've ever been connected with, okay? And I haven't done too many of them, but this is the one I like the most. And I'll tell you, you're not just listening to me analyzing my words. You're also listening to my vibration. Vibration can really tell you if somebody's really talking out of their, or really speaking within their heart. I know that each one and every one of you, through your experience, knows that I'm talking through my heart. I know that. I can feel it. Okay? So with it, it's not so much the message that I give out. It's the vibration of the words, how they vibrate, and how it resonates when it goes into you. That's the true teaching. It's not so much the words.
Okay. I mean, I have something, one last thing I have to say. I want someone's opinion about this. I think Brother Aaron was saying something about we have to respect what people believe in. Is that what you said, Brother Aaron?
Yes, I did say that.
Okay, well, now, I mean, I agree to a certain degree, to a point, but I can't totally agree with that because maybe Jay knows what I'm talking about, but there's this young lady that I knew one time, and, I took her to church one time, and one thing about me, if you can't accept God, I mean, even though I wasn't saved at that point, if you can't accept God, then eventually I have to cut you off. And I found out later that this young lady used to keep the Satanic Bible underneath her bed. And that's when I had to cut her loose. I mean, back to what you were saying, I can't respect to what she believed. In that case, I can't agree with you on that because anyone who worships the devil, I can't respect that.
Well, what I would have to say concerning that, because can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, because I hung up. I know I had to call back. I didn't know if I was on or not. What I would say about that is, just like our brother Nico was saying, if you are trying to live a prosperous life, you're not trying to hurt anyone. You're basically in tune with yourself in the respect of you respect yourself and others, and your intent and purpose in life is to build and not tear down. In that respect, I was referring to people respecting their beliefs. But if someone has a belief of tearing down, if someone has a belief of destroying and
right.
breaking people, that, me personally, I can't necessarily deal, I can't, I wouldn't agree with that because I don't believe, I don't necessarily believe that's beneficial to yourself, nor is it beneficial to me. Forget any type of religion, just as a human being. That's I don't know necessarily know if that, you know, answers your question or if you agree with that or not.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know if anybody answered the question that I asked before. I know I asked
Brother Jay was supposed to answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we were just going in, you had went off. Could you repeat it again real fast?
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Just that question if you can.
Let's say if I was a person in limbo with religion, but one of the religions I was in limbo with was Christianity, and I seen my mother or I seen people that I knew pray for stuff, and a lot of times their prayers weren't answered. Sometimes they were, and sometimes they weren't. What would you tell? And then, like I said, it was something that was personal. I'm not talking about me per se. I'm saying to this guy, it was something personal that he actually seen somebody in his family pray for over and over again, over and over again, and they never ever ever received it, and they died never ever receiving, you know, something that they were praying for. What would you say to that person?
Well, first of all, when it comes to prayer,
mm-hmm.
especially in Christianity, if someone is saved and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, first
mm-hmm.
of all, that's the number one gift. Like, that's the number one thing that has been answered in your life. It's your salvation and the Spirit being filled within your life.
that gets you into the kingdom of God. So there are many things that we can pray upon on this earth according to this flesh. Some may be answered, and there's some that's not going to be answered. But that person's mother continued to pray because she did not allow what was not answered to stop her from believing in her salvation and the gift of eternal life, which is the most important thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
yes, I agree with that. Since you put it that way, since you're talking about salvation, and since you said prayer, you kind of put aside what she prayed for. You basically were saying like that wasn't important. What was important was the main thing of her salvation, right?
Yeah, I mean that is the greatest thing inside is eternal life, because in Christ we don't live to live like we're going to exist on this earth forever. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We live to live again. We live after, you know what I mean, through our spirits. This flesh is already judged. It goes back to the dust from which it came.
All right. To make the question more, you know, going toward the direction of what you're talking about right now. How about, I'm hypothetically speaking, but I actually do know somebody personally. How about an atheist who used to believe but no longer believes? And they actually prayed and tried to believe again, but because they actually had the desire to want to believe again, but their prayer never came about and they never believed ever again.
Just got cut off.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, well, this got cut off. Too bad.
Is Jay still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, did you hear my question?
I'm here. I'm listening to your question right now. Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished with my question.
Well, listen like this.
Can I answer that?
No.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? I'm
going to
let you answer it, but can I say this? According to the scriptures, right,
mm-hmm.
there is a possibility that their mind could have went reprobate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So they don't have a chance anymore? Like,
no,
like
no,
done?
No, that's not for me to say. But I'm saying that is in the Bible. That word is in the Bible, where there are some minds who have became seared with iron, like their minds have become reprobate.
What does that mean per se? Like, are you saying
to condemn
that God,
strong? No, to condemn strongly as unworthy, unacceptable, or evil.
No, meaning that they actually want to believe again. Like they do want to believe, but they don't have it in them anymore to actually accept the things that they used to believe in. Like they just can't do it, and they tried and they prayed and they tried to.
They don't want it bad enough.
They don't want it bad enough?
No, you can get anything if you want it bad enough.
Maybe that thing that they can't accept is the thing that's keeping them from actually whatever that thing they connected to that brought them into being an atheist, like you said, maybe they're still holding on to that. And when you come into Christ and you're being born again, there are things that you must let go of. And you can't hold on to it and think you're going to bring it into, like you're going to change God's mind about something you don't agree with and bring that into the salvation that he has for you. You have to let that thing go.
Now,
okay.
Can I say something?
Okay.
I think what happens with a lot of Christians is we approach prayer kind of jumping off of what Brother Nico said. We approach prayer thinking that, you know, thinking how we were brought up. So if you were brought up with the lack of, or if you were brought up with there's not enough of this, or feeling like you're unworthy of something, or if you were brought up thinking that, you know, maybe you don't deserve a second chance, or maybe it's like praying without actually believing what you're praying for, or believing that you're going to receive it. And I
over the years, I've been able to become more successful by believing when God gives me visions and when God gives me things that He wants me to do, I don't ask any questions. I just go about and start doing it because I believe His word when He says this is what you're going to be blessed with and this is what you have to bless others with. There's no question, but and the reason I think like that is because I was raised. My parents, you know, I was raised in the church, but at the same time, they raised to believe that we can have anything that we want. We can attract anything that we want. So if we didn't think of the things that we don't want, you don't have the distractions there to keep you from it. So in that sense, where the atheist is distracted now because they in their mind they're thinking one way because of their experience, what they came to believe as far as being an atheist, God don't exist and this and that, and you know that's a distraction now. So now when they're praying for God to heal them and bring them back to them, in the back of their minds they may still think I'm not worthy, or He doesn't really, or do He really? They're constantly questioning it. So now their prayers are going unanswered because they're not receiving what it is that God is trying to give them.
Can you say like that?
They're blocking the blessings.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think most Christians, when we pray, we don't actually receive it. It's like ask and it is given, but we still have to receive it. Like God is going to bless us with it. He's been trying to bless us with it. He's been trying to bring us out. But for some reason, these distractions and the poverty mindset and the lack of mindset that we've been kind of taught or cursed with, you know, we have to be careful with what we even teach our children now. You know, when your children ask for something, you can't tell them we don't have. Oh, no, that's you know, you can't get that. Or no, you know, we can't afford that. You know, that may be your reality, but you're programming them to think maybe in the future my life is going to be where we can't ask to go to this restaurant or we can't even approach this situation because we never had it before. So you're pre-programming our children to think when they're adults there's going to be a lack of unless somebody comes in and reteach them or they unlearn what they were taught from their household. You know what I'm saying? So it's your personal experience kind of ties into your spiritual experience as well and what you ask for and if you receive it or not.
I think that makes awesome sense to me.
Can I please say something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Please. All right. And I've been sitting on the phone. I've been listening to all aspects of what's been said. And I think the main issue that has not been brought up is the fact that God is God, number one.
Mm-hmm.
If God don't do nothing else, it won't change the fact that He's God. That's number one. Number two is when we get to the place where we can worship God and praise God and serve God just because He's God, not because of what He can do, just because He's God, then I believe we'll start seeing God answering some of the prayers that we're sending up. Maybe He's not sending what you're asking for because, number one, He might feel like you're not ready to handle it. Number two, maybe He's withholding it from you because He wants you to appreciate Him just for being God, not for what He can give you. And see, we're so busy worshiping and praising a God that supplies. And that's not the only aspect of God. God is just God. Whether He supplies any other, whether He answers any more prayers from this point on, it still don't change the fact that He's God. So everything that you're saying, it sounds good. But it sounds good on the plane of selfish thinking. All right? And just because God don't answer your prayer don't mean it shouldn't mean that's justification for you not to continue to worship him and serve him. Because we don't worship and praise God for what he can do. We worship and praise him for who he is. And I think that's what's wrong with the body of Christ, church, religion, in home. Because we're worshiping just the God that supplies. But it's more attributes and aspects of God than just the God that supplies. Mm-hmm. How would you feel as a parent? The only time you get some attention from your child is when they need something. And see, when we start putting God in an aspect like that, then we'll understand how God feels. God has feelings too. If you are a parent and the only time you hear from your child is when they need help with their rent, they need help with books, they need help with their car note, they need help to help pay their insurance. The only time you hear from your child is when they need something, you will feel some kind of way about that. Even though you might go ahead and do it every now and then, but you're still going to feel some kind of way. You're going to say to yourself, the only time I hear from them is when they need something. You don't think God feels that way?
Well, I understand completely what you're saying. The point that I was making was based off of Brother Aaron's question about the atheist trying to receive this feeling from God that he hasn't been feeling. Because
it still addresses that as well. Because the atheist is feeling like there is no God because he went to this God and this God didn't answer his prayers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what?
Right,
God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. If he feels like your prayers shouldn't be answered, that's not a reason for you to say there's no God.
Right.
Because we don't serve God for what God does for us. We serve God because he's God.
To just make a statement based on what everybody says, is it possible that the suggestions that all of you gave concerning the atheist who wants to believe but no longer believes, is it possible that all of the answers that you guys have given him might not be the answer?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Another thing is, you said earlier, maybe he isn't praying hard enough. You said that earlier. My question to you would be, if the very deepest, hardest Bible-believing person, truly God-serving, is one and in touch with God, if that person prays to fly, do you think he would be able to fly? The reason why I say that is because it's not about how hard you pray. It's not about how hard you believe. It's about what actually can and cannot happen.
No, I think when you pray, you have to I mean, you can't throw up a silly prayer. I wouldn't pray to, oh God, let me jump off the Empire State Building and fly out of space somewhere. That's not going to happen. I mean, God gave us all common sense. You know what I mean?
To say that in the regards of Christianity, it's not impossible.
No, but you know what? The mindset that you're preferring to pray from, if we just go and ask God to fly, is that actually are we trying to prove something, that God is real? If he can make us fly by our prayers, then he's real. But if we pray and he doesn't let us fly, then he's not real.
No, I was just making a point, basically saying that a lot of times Christians, not just Christians, but people who believe in a personal God who does answer prayer, they actually believe if you do pray hard enough, if you do have this certain type of faith that you actually can tap into God, some people do believe that nothing's impossible for God to do. And with that being said, coming from a Christian perspective, flying is not impossible because people have done it in the Bible. For someone to be raised from the dead isn't possible because it has happened in the Bible. But for a lot of things that we deem impossible today has actually happened in the Bible if you believe that the Bible is true. So it's not out of the realm of reality if you believe that the Bible is true.
Somebody flew in the Bible?
Yeah, somebody did fly in the Bible.
Who was it?
If you read in Acts, I believe it was Simon, I believe. He was, I'll actually get the scripture.
You're going to have to get that one tonight.
But if you do your research on different religious stuff like that, now certain religions, even today, they claim that they can fly. I don't know how true this is, but even in like the
That's the Church of Peter Pan. No, let me stop.
I'm being like there and now. I used to hear some Haitian people that I know. They actually believe like in voodoo, it's a certain prayer that you pray, you can fly. So I don't know how true that is, but some people, they still believe that today. You know?
Well, I ain't trying to be funny, but that'll save a whole lot of airline tickets. I need to find out about that one. Hey, Bill, research that one, bro.
Okay.
Research that one, Bill.
All right.
But,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, research that one, because I want to know about that one.
If they got something that I can get some frequent flying allowances, pay me some money on these airline tickets. I'm just kidding. I don't want nobody to take me literally. I'm just kidding. Not at all. But Aaron, really, I need you to find that one, bro.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking. I'm looking for an
answer. Yeah, I need you to.
But I'm
gonna tell you something, man. Brother, that brother Nico.
You
I don't know if he's still on the line.
No, brother Nico is off the line now.
That brother, you can say what you want to say. He was out there, but you could feel the sincerity about what he was saying.
You can feel
that brother meant what he was saying. You know,
but to me, y'all might think this is crazy. For me, right? Like I always tell you, I eat the meat and spit out the bones. But he preached to me, like I caught
he
like
preached
a
to me too. Jay, like, I perceive what he said, Jay.
Yeah,
90% of what he was saying, it did something for me until he went a little bit.
Especially when he's talking about how he can't escape God, like there's nothing outside of God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, since God is the creator of everything, I am that I am. He spoke everything in existence. Like, it's nothing outside of that. Like, it's nothing besides that. And, like, I believe that, yo.
Yeah, that's deep, brother.
Just like
I believe that.
When he was talking about prayer, I truly believe that when you're praying, you got to, your position got to be right.
Yo,
I believe that too. Did you hear him
when he said, when you pray from need, that's what you going to get in need.
That's right, yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That was deep, bro. I'm sorry.
That was real deep.
That was deep. I said, oh, yeah. I got to put that in the sermon now.
Yeah, I took the notes down on that one right there.
I'm going to preach that.
now, do y'all get that
you heard
what church is about, though?
You get what you pray for according to the position you're in.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, though, when Nico called in, it was a perfect example of what Dirty Church Radio is about, where a person can call in and don't believe the exact same thing that you believe, may have disagreements, but it's something that they believe that can be a blessing to you in what you believe. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you
but
what,
we can
man.
Take something from everybody, man. I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
We don't have it all, bro.
Nah. But I think that's the angle Brother Aaron be coming at. You know, he wants us to keep our minds open. You know what I mean? And I think if we keep our minds open, this kind of exchange, man, it can happen to where, you know what I mean? Iron is sharper than iron. You know
right.
what I mean? Iron is sharper than iron. And you give a little, you take a little. You give a little, you take a little. And that way, we all can eat. You know what I mean? You don't never want to be the one that's always serving. You need to eat too.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep that mindset on this show, this show is going to be a blessing to millions and millions of people, man. You know what I mean? That's why I appreciate that brother that was on the line, Brother Nico. You know what I mean? Since this radio show been going on, I done learned some things from Aaron. I done learned some things from Jay. I done learned some things from Brother Gombo. You know, and when I'm quiet because I'm listening. You know what I mean? I'm gleaning what I can glean, and I'm putting it in my mind so I can pull it up later. Because when I'm not on the radio, I'm in my word. I'm searching out. I'm on the internet. I'm searching out different things. I'm asking questions and inquiring so that when we do come on this forum, I got something other than just the Bible. And see, that's what I'm getting into now. I'm trying to get into other things, other knowledge. But the core of my knowledge is going to always be the Bible. That ain't going to change.
That's right.
But I'm opening up my mind just from this radio broadcast. I'm opening up my mind to hear and receive different aspects of even the mind of God. Because everybody's view on the mind of God is not the same either.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting to see even on this radio broadcast. So tonight's broadcast was powerful. I don't know how nobody else view it, but I view it as something powerful and very profound and prolific on tonight. It was wonderful.
Hey, Trey, what you feel about the show, man, so far since you've been on?
I mean, it has a lot of potential, bro. I only tuned in tonight. I called in last night, and I was just pretty much listening.
Listening.
And it was a blessing. And tonight, it was a blessing as well. So it has great potential. And I think as shepherds of the radio station, there's going to be some things that come across business-wise that, you know, you really got to be prepared for. And from that standpoint, you know, we can have, you know, a sidebar and kind of plan things out so that it can be as successful as God wanted it to be. So, you know, he inspired you with the vision, or, you know, you and the brothers with the vision to do it, and you're doing it. But I know it's not just for our immediate area, like the brother from Canada. You know what I mean? That's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that he
called
in California. Yeah,
man, they've been calling from
home. So now, when you tap into what God really got for you, it's going to go beyond your imagination. So, in having an open mind and dealing with these topics and conversations and talking to different people with different beliefs and how they get in touch with God, it's going to go so far beyond what you know you admit. Probably were thinking, you know what I mean? So you just have to be ready for it, bro. And you know, right now they got satellite radio. They have so many different areas of radio that people have become very, very successful just from radio. And I think this has the potential to really go that far, bro. I really, really do. So, you know, I thank God for it, man. And thank God for you, brothers. And, you know, we just keep an open mind and keep each other in prayer, man, and just move forward with it and, you know, see what God got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
see yeah, I appreciate God. That, man. I hear that. I receive that.
Yeah.
I receive that for real. Mm-hmm. So, Bill. How about you, bro?
Well, you know,
been on here for
this
few, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've been here my second time too, as well. But like I said, like Dre was saying, it's been a blessing to me, and I just like hearing you know different people's views on the topics we'll be talking about. It's like, wow, you know, I never thought of it from that angle. You know what I'm saying? And not just that, you know, like I told you before, Jay on the phone, you know we talked about, you know, basically, you know, I was in prayer and. God put in my heart to call you that morning, but I said, no, you know, Jermaine, he's sleeping, I ain't going to mess with him. To tell him that God put in my heart that this thing can really go far, you know, God just put in my heart to tell you that. And I said, no, I don't call Jermaine. Jermaine don't call me every day. And at night, Jermaine called me. I'm like, wow, he calls. It's like God telling me, tell him what I put on your heart to tell you. You know what I'm saying? So we talked, Jermaine. Mm-hmm. And that's when I told you. I said, you know what, I believe my heart and God put in my heart that this thing is really going to take off as long as you know, you treat it right. You do the right thing. You do right by him, and he'll do right by you. You know what I'm saying? And I think that this is a good move in the right direction. It's a positive move. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's basically it, man. Just keep doing what you're doing, and God's gonna he's gonna show up, man. He's gonna bless. You know, because I think people are getting blessed from this. You know, I really, really.
Well, I'm sorry. Y'all messed me up. I mean, because you know, I was coming off on some other angle. But I'm sorry, Jay, I had to use your word angle. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, now I got to talk about the show. I mean, you know, I found the scripture, but it's like no point in talking about the scripture because you're talking all positive and stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like.
It's still Dirty Church Radio, and you still the devil's advocate.
But
we expect that from you.
But what I was saying is, that the gentleman. I mean, to be honest, I'm surprised that even Apostle Lou said what he said. I mean, that was awesome. And even I was talking to Jay today, and Jay was like, "Man, you know," he said, "Do you realize how many people there are in the world? Like, if you were standing and you actually seen all the people in the world, basically, he was saying, you know, like we're not the only ones." We are not the only ones who have our perception of the world and our perception of God, and you know it's definitely apparent with the caller that we have today, with dude from Canada. I mean, I can't tell him that his experience isn't real,
right.
Nor can I tell him that his experience is wrong. His experience is true to him; it makes sense to him, and he lives by it, and he loves it, and it makes him a better person.
Yeah.
And I mean that's my thing. You know what I'm saying? That's totally my thing. I'm totally with you can believe whatever you want to believe. And it's your right to believe that. And if it makes you a better person and if that type of truth gets you to a place where you need to be to make you a better person, I say, you know what I'm saying, yo, congrats to you. And I think that this show, like I always say, this show is a platform for people to actually come on and express their views, express their beliefs, express their personalities. And, you know, I think it would be, you know, very, very mature and wise for us to do exactly what we did tonight. Listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I totally agree, too. And the thing that's crazy about this whole thing, this is just a glimpse of what's to come far as different minds dropping seeds of thoughts on the show. You know what I mean? We may, it's going to be people calling in here saying things probably that we couldn't have never even imagined.
Mm.
But to be able to be on this show and be able to handle whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying?
So, and that's the thing about this, man. Like I say, whatever is the dirt on this show is for seeds of thoughts of people's minds. And we want to see when they plant it in this dirt, what's going to grow from it? What can we grow with the different thoughts from people's minds? Even in the midst of the disagreements, I believe there is a greater purpose.
Yeah. I
was just saying, I just believe in life there are many disagreements, but I believe the purpose and the assignments of God's creation is greater than what we disagree about. And that's just something that I truly believe.
See, man, now I have to wait for another show, you know what I'm saying, to come at y'all, you know what I'm saying, sideways.
So are you saying the devil's advocate lost tonight?
No, not at all. It wasn't about competition tonight.
No. What I mean is, we made you feel like not being the devil.
Nah, I think Nico made me want to put that position down. But I mean, just to let you guys know, you know, just so I can play my part and play my role, the scripture is actually Acts 8:35-42, and it's talking about Philip. Now, Philip basically teleported to another place right in front of a man. But not only that, but like I said before, and then...
Wait a minute. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when the Ethiopian was out and he was reading the scriptures.
Well, I mean, I'll read it to you.
Yeah, read it.
Okay. I'll actually start at 39. It's the scripture. Well, I'll read at 38. And he ordered that the chariot be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Enoch was found at Azotus, and passing on, he preached the good news to all the towns until he reached Syria.
Well, can I ask you something, Advocate?
Yeah.
Did Philip pray to fly?
No, that wasn't my point. My point wasn't Philip praying to fly. I'm just saying.
But that's the question that you asked.
Coming from the Christian's point of view, nothing is
impossible. That's the question you asked, though.
Coming from the Christian's point of view,
I think you was really supposed to show an example of a person praying to fly.
See, you're not going to check this out. Because Nico inspired me tonight, I won't even go back and forth with you. I'll say, okay. So that's the spirit of Nico right now.
Okay.
So that means he's not taking the bait.
Yeah. He's not taking the bait tonight.
He's not taking the bait. And guess what? It's all good.
But you know what's crazy about it? He know the hook was dropped in the water though. That's all.
Oh yeah,
All I'm gonna let you know is coming from a Christian's point of view, nothing's impossible. That's all I got to say. Because it happened in the Bible. And if you believe the Bible is true, then it can actually happen now.
But when you ask a question like that, son, come better than that, son.
Yeah, sure. Of course you would say that.
Come better than that, son.
Of course you would say that.
Come better than that, son. You know what I mean?
Because now you can't actually match up to what I'm saying to you. So now you have to tell me to come better than that.
No, listen. You said pray to fly. You said pray to fly. You didn't pray to fly.
To our radio listeners, this is what we're talking about. This is what we do. This is what we do. So, you know.
Listen, to all the listeners, the advocate, like, don't let him, like, try to bamboozle y'all prayers to make y'all pray that bamboozle prayer.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what I mean?
Like I said, and you know what, to all the listeners, you keep believing what you believe. That's all I have to say. You keep believing what you have to believe.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? So I want, you know, one day, Jay, I would like for you to explain to me that is it possible that I can pray, you know, to fly because it has happened? Is it possible that I can pray for someone to be raised from the dead, for snakes to talk? You know,
this needs to be a TV show so they can see the smirk that Aaron got on his face right about now.
Yeah, that smirk.
That smirk. You know that smirk?
Well, it is my job to do so.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But listen, man, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Advocate.
Yes, sir.
We can have that show. We can do all that. But you know what? Tonight, I want to do a little something different. Since we got a guest, we got two guests on the line, our brother Bill and our brother Trey. I need y'all brothers to give us a topic that you think would be great. We want to hear a topic from each one of y'all that we could do on this show.
You first, Dre.
I think that the topic that you kind of touched on yesterday was a very, very deep topic, and it drew. You know, it drew some really good ministers. It drew some really, really good remarks. And when Pastor Cook was on the line, she kind of speaking on what comes along with that territory, with that package. It's not just itself, but what actually comes along with that. And we see it so much as Christians, even in the church, we see it. You know what I mean? We see it and we tolerate it in most churches. So I think it's a topic that's worth digging into, maybe coming from a little different aspect of it, but I think it's worth it's a topic that's worth really, really digging into from a church standpoint with the Catholic churches and the Sandusky case that's going on and you know, Eddie Long, you know, all the stuff that he was like, and then the Boy Scouts just coming out with their, you know, their truth of what really went on all these 40, 50 years. Like, our children deserve so much better. You know what I'm saying? And if we don't approach it as Christians to stand up for them when all this promotion of it is going on, saying that it's okay, telling our young that it's okay, these young girls dressing like they dress and these young boys looking like girls. If we don't dig into that so that we can save them before it even comes to the church and they're in the choir and they're playing music and we have to reach them before it even gets that far. So I think that's a topic that's really worth digging into just so that we can have it in us to teach our youth in the schools or wherever we have to, you know what I mean, to teach the parents how to look out for, you know what I'm saying? It's just a topic that's worth really, really digging into, maybe come from a different angle or however we have to approach it. But I would play around with that topic that you got. You guys were on the last 2 days.
Are you talking about homosexuality?
It's another topic I was thinking about, right? And it's deep, and that's deep too. But
hold on,
was he talking about
homosexuality?
Yeah, that's what he was talking about.
Oh, okay.
But he wanted to, you know, dig a little deeper, not only just homosexuality, but with the molestations that's in the church,
yes.
In the schools, and the Boy Scouts, and all different things like that too. You know what I wanted to talk about too? Episode. Dealing with the crack baby all grown up.
Mm.
And
I wanted to deal with it because, you know, there are many, you know, children that was born, their parents was on drugs.
Right.
And talk about how has that altered? How has that altered that generation? Who are they? What have they become? Not saying all of them have become bad, but what has it made them? Has it evolved that generation into something else? Has it removed love from their hearts? Like different, I mean, like digging deep into it. Is that the reason why there's a lot of heartless young people out here now that can kill someone like they're playing a video game? Like they can push a button and get an extra player to play with no conscience, no nothing. It's like just straight rebels without a cause. I just exist with no love because I've been raised in a broken home. I've been, you know, sent from house to house. I've been abused in all the houses that I was sent in. I was mistreated, and it turned me into this. On top of that, I was messed up as a child. My mother was on drugs, so now there was a chemical imbalance. I mean, dealing with that type of thing and dealing with that whole generation, with that whole concept.
Yeah, that's deep, bro.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to really, you know, tie into.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bill, I know you on the line. What did you want to
No, as you know, just a couple of things that come to mind. Just two things that I was thinking about that I need some answers to because, you know, as being in church growing up all my life, you know, a lot of things, you know, they go unanswered. And they kind of, like, you know, tiptoe over these subjects, and that's like when they say, I was wondering about this, when they say, yeah, as a Christian, when you're married, the bed is undefiled. Okay, now when you say that, what does that really mean to you as a Christian? You know what I'm saying? You know, if you get married to somebody and they kind of find out later y'all not sexually compatible, then what? You know, then that, you know, that doesn't mean you go out and cheat on them. You know, stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
And also, too, another question that I have, too. Well, not really a question, but, yeah, that is a question. Why has the church became a mainstream business? A lot of these preachers, this is a career move, but I just don't understand. I don't think it's right, you know. And I had one pastor ask me, and I'm not even a member of his church. He asked me, "Where's my tithes and offerings?" He asked me to help my music, me in the music department. So I said, "Okay," but he said, "Where's your tithes and offerings? Are you really concerned about my soul and my salvation? All this, and you worry about what's in my pockets?" And but yet you got water coming in from the roof. You know what I'm saying? But you went with my ties and all, okay, where's the money going to? That's what I want to know. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions in the church that I think, you know, should be answered. You know, this is Dirty Church Radio. Let's define what the truth is.
All right. Apostle Lewis Young, you still on the line with me, right, bro?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I know our other, our host, Aaron, you know, he's off. He dropped off right now. Tonight, normally we don't do this. Tonight, I just want you to end this show with a word of prayer for America and for the world and for this wickedness that's in this world and all the bad stuff that's just going on with our young people. And, you know, mothers killing their children, fathers killing their families. People are now shooting in the church while people are, you know, in front of, you know, supposed to be praising God, leading worship or praying and killing in the house of God. I feel as though we could not end this show without you as a man of God leading us into a serious prayer just for our nation, man.
All right, that's not a problem. Well, Father God, we thank you, first of all. We give your name praise and we give your name glory and honor just for being God, the I Am. the creator of all things that has ever been created. So from that angle, we want to just say, God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. And we thank you for strength. We don't take anything that you do for us for granted. That's why we pause now to first give your name praise, give your name honor and glory. So now, God, I come before you, first of all, praying for the brothers that's on the line. We know that there is no coincidence in God. There's only purpose. And I believe every brother that's on this line on tonight is purpose for great things. So, God, we pray that you will keep our minds open, keep our understanding sharp, so that even when we're not on this radio broadcast, we can be a beacon of light to direct men and women to you. Because if we're not doing that, then we're not fulfilling our purpose. Our purpose should be to direct men and women to a God that is real, the only true and living God, the I Am. So, God, I pray that their minds would be elevated to a place to where they would seek out purpose, seek out destiny, and seek out the mind of God. And that's for every brother that's on this line. We pray for their families. We pray that you would shield them and protect them even after they're off the air. Shield and protect them as they slumber and sleep, as they go throughout their daily occupations on tomorrow. We pray that you would cover them right now in your precious blood. And God, now we pray, God, for our nation. And we realize and understand that we're in a wicked and perverse generation that we're living in now. And it seems like the more knowledge we get, the farther we get from you. So, God, we pray for this nation. We pray for our president. We pray for our governors. We pray for our mayors. We pray for every person that is making decisions for us on our behalf. We pray that, God, that you will be a God amongst them even as they're making decisions on our behalf. We pray for that father that's working two or three jobs, that can't be home to be a father at home like he would desire. We pray that you would touch him even now, God, so that he can be blessed, so that he can be a father in his home. We pray for that woman that might be raising children on her own, that single mother that's raising a son and doing the best that she can. We pray for her even now, God. We even pray, God, for that homosexual that might be listening on the line even now. Pray that you would be a God even in the midst of their situation. And, God, we pray for that man that might be making a decision to go out and do something similar to what the brother did at Crapo Dollars Church. God, we understand and we realize that demonic forces are on the rampage, wanting to do and use folks to do their bidding. I plead the blood of Jesus against them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that the minds of the people would be touched even through this prayer on tonight. Halt them from doing anything crazy that would land them in jail on tonight. Touch their minds and let them know that you are a God that still lets peace flow. And I pray that peace would flow, peace that surpasses all man's understanding, to make them realize and think again before they react. Think again. Look at that situation again. And God, when they look at that situation, let them look at the situation through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of flesh. Because if they look at that situation through the eyes of God and not the eyes of flesh, it will make them change their mind. God, we need minds to be changed on tonight. Change that wayward mind that want to do something that's going to cause bodily harm to somebody else. We plead the blood of Jesus against those thoughts. We plead the blood of Jesus against demonic thoughts. We come against them right now in the name of Jesus. You said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We pray for the mind of God on tonight. We pray for the mind of Christ. Because in the mind of Christ, there's liberty, there's peace. So I pray now, God, for our nation. I pray for the leaders of our nation. I pray for their minds, God, that they make decisions that would be the right decisions, not the wrong decisions. God, if you do these things for us, God, we'll give your name the praise. We'll give your name the honor and the glory because they're already yours. So we pray this prayer tonight knowing that it's done. This prayer is going to land on good ground, not stony ground, but it's going to land on good ground. And for that, we say thank you. We give your name praise because we know that it's done. And it is done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As I leave you every night, everyone out there, I leave you with a song that God blessed me to write. It's called I Am the Treasure. Just know that you all are valuable, that you are worth something, that you do have purpose, and there's meaning to your life. God bless you all. Until the next time.
Everywhere I am, it seems.